good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Jujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Support Native news, stories, and events. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
That's awesome. And hey, we got Kathy Coates coming up next here as a guest. And we want to give out a shout out to State Senator Mary Kunis. She's doing great work out west and can't be with us, which is one of the rarest times that she won't be on this week. I bet you in 6 years she's missed not even a handful.
Yeah. Seriously. Shout out, Mary.
Yeah, definitely. So we know she's going to be really busy, or she'd try and get on. And that's what. What not only her great content and what she's doing, but that's part of why we love her too, is that she really sees the importance of our work and her work being amplified through the airways of civic media and AM 950 and all our relatives out that are listening to us on Facebook Live and YouTube.
Yes, absolutely. So what do we have going on? I know we're going to have Kathy Coates on. We're going to talk about her book, To Banish Forever, A Secret Society, the Ho-Chunk and Ethnic Cleansing in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. There's an event going on this weekend, a big one here in St. Paul. Do you want to talk about it?
You're not talking about the snow event, are you?
Oh, no. Something a lot more enjoyable.
a powwow. Hey, we're all going to a powwow.
Yes, this is our March powwow, St. Paul Indian Education and Department of Indian Work. And this, where will this one be? This will be at the American Indian Magnet School, Saturday, March 23rd at 12 p.m. And if you don't know where the American Indian Magnet School is, the address is 3rd Street East, St. Paul. You know, going to be a bunch of vendors per usual. So bring your cash and leave that budget at home.
Right. Good one. I am going to be, it may be a double-edged sad story because we won't be able to see John Boblink, who just passed away, who's a head of American Indian Affairs in St. Paul Public Schools. He's been with St. Paul Public Schools so many years, and he died too young and too and so it'll be a double-edged sword not seeing him there. And I'm sure there's going to be people talking about him, and as there have been this past, geez, I guess it's been about 3 weeks now.
So this will be going on tomorrow. The powwow will be held on Saturday. There will be dancing, socialization. Doors open at 12. Lunch will also be served at 12. And grand entry is at 1. And doors close at 6.
Right on. Well, that's a nice, good one. And it's always good to, if you can get out there, it's always good to support our young ones. And this is a high school powwow. But, of course, all ages are welcome. All ages will be dancing and singing and sponsored by St. Paul Public Schools Indian Ed, and we will be out there being an old St. Paul Public Schools teacher with a all Native homeroom, and going to see some alumni and some new kids, and we'll try and make it out there. Hey, I'm really excited about having Kathy on, and I know we were able to have her and a bunch of other people in a big crowd at All My Relations Gallery in between one of their shows, and it was perfect timing to have her come in and Bill Quackenbush and Amy Lone Tree talk about how important this book is. And so it'll be great to have an update, Haley.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to chat with Kathy here quick. But, you know, since we're on the topic of some of NACD's stuff, I know you mentioned All My Relations Arts and their gallery. Mm-hmm. NACD, another really great program of theirs, the Four Sisters Farmers Market. Hey, wow. We'll be, yeah, reopening again here in June. I think before I said May. But it will be June 6th to October 31st. And the market takes place every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 3. And they are still looking for vendors. So if you're looking to join our growing community of urban natives here in Minneapolis, and you want to provide healthy, culturally relevant foods and or artisan crafts and products, mm-hmm. you can head over to NACD's website or Four Sisters Farmers Market and fill out that application.
Perfect. And it's always a place to be seen and or seen and be seen. And we know that firsthand.
Absolutely. It's a revolving door of really great people that come in and out of the market at all hours of the day.
Right. Definitely. So anything else going on? I know, yeah. Again, I'm worried about the Snowzilla that's coming up here. And, you know, I'm old and, you know, it's hard for me to shovel this sidewalk now. And maybe Haley, you can come over and shovel for me.
Maybe. Or we could have it melt. I think it'll melt really soon.
just hold tight and let the next week go by and, oh, it's all gone.
Yeah, well, our driveway is completely melted already today.
And you didn't shovel?
No. Wow. I haven't even been out.
Yeah, I haven't been out.
Oh. No, I'm kidding. But hopefully, you know, we don't get too much snowfall come this Sunday, because next Monday, the 25th, there will be an Indian Taco fundraiser for the Minneapolis Celebration Powwow, formerly known as the Thanksgiving Powwow. Again, Monday, the 25th from 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. And I guess I got to double check where that is, where it's going to be happening.
Yeah, I thought I saw
Minnesota Chippewa Tribe Office, 1308 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis.
Right on. That's a good one there. And so again, I'm scared about the snow here. I'm heading to New York here in a few days and hopefully be able to fly out and things like that.
Well, New York, you're the East Coast. I feel like they're pretty used to the snow.
Right.
Hopefully.
But you know, you're at this point, Haley, and you get to those big eagles, those big metal birds that fly up in the sky. First of all, when you look at those, you go, how does this even happen? This thing's like a ton. How's this even floating in the air? And then the second thing is you're sitting in your seat. And they have this big hose on it and they're de-icing the plane and you're going, is this really safe?
Right. I know. Don't sit by one of those emergency doors.
Well, yeah, that too. But is it like, what's the deal here? Do we got a lot? We got a lot of water on this plane here and they're de-icing it. And is it making the plane heavy? You know, I don't know. It's scary for this old man. I have much to live for here, so I got to be careful.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, yeah, I mean, we have another thing going on next Monday, and I want to make sure we get this one out again, too. This is NAC, Native American Community Clinic, one of our really great sponsors here on Native Earth Radio. They will be hosting another full moon ceremony for the month of March at the Little Earth Gym in Minneapolis. And you know, those, I heard that those are really great ceremonies.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. There's a lot going on. And again, we're going to have Kathy Coates on, later this show. And then I don't know, we got like a minute or so. Haley, do we want to tease Monday? Because we got a rock solid show happening. And then there's the big, premiere of, the movie on, TPT, about Henry Boucher coming up.
Yes, which I was so happy I got to go see the premiere, the early premiere out at the theater with everybody, with Leah Hale. And we're going to have Leah back on with us, who's been on a couple times. And, you know, she's just done such great documentary work and just film work in general. And just really amazing producer, director, and I hope everyone gets a chance to see this documentary on Henry. The documentary is called The Electric Indian, and it'll be coming out, when is it, on the 26th?
Yes.
Okay, March 26th, and will that be airing on PBS?
Yeah, TPT, the local one. I'm not sure about the national one, but if you get on their website and want to watch that, you just change your area code and you can get in, watch Minnesota stuff.
Perfect. Oh, wow.
Hey, up next, Kathy Coates, author to Banish Forever, A Secret Society, The Ho-Chunk, and The Ethnic Cleansing in Minnesota. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Ripping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hey, if you're like a lot of people, you're probably relieved that the holiday celebrations are over. But there's one thing that might stay with us from the holidays besides all those gifts, and that's COVID-19. Numbers from COVID are going up as we spend more time inside. And Native Americans are seeing even bigger case spikes. With all the indoor celebrations over the holidays, you may have unknowingly been exposed to someone with COVID-19. That's why it's important to stay vigilant. If you notice any symptoms like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, take an at-home test. They're still free and can be ordered at sayyeshometest.org. If you do test positive, you're eligible for free treatment, and no health insurance is required. Visit health.state.mn.us to connect with providers and receive your treatment. Let's make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory, off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
I am awake. Hey, we're here with Kathy Coates, and she is the author to Banish Forever, Secret Society, The Ho-Chunk, and The Ethnic Cleansing in Minnesota. Welcome back, Kathy. I know we've had you on a few times here, and we're really excited to have you on again.
Thanks, Robert. It's great to be back.
Right on. And so the book's been out for a while here. And what I'd like to do is just take a couple steps back and remind our listeners about your story of writing this book and what got you going on that. I just want to also let people know that this is published by the Minnesota Historical Society. So you can go on their website and pick up this book. I know there's been a lot here in Minnesota, especially. People really wanting to know more about the book and purchasing the book. So there's been a really, really positive response to this in the last month. Hey, so Kathy, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, when I was in college, I read a book that had a fictional chapter about the Knights of the Forest, and at the beginning of the chapter, there was a real quote from a newspaper. So I went to look that up. And when I went to find books and articles on the Knights of the Forest, I couldn't find anything. And I was pretty shocked both that the Knights of the Forest existed and also that I couldn't find any books or any articles by any historians or anybody on this subject. And so when I went to graduate school, I was looking for a topic and I thought this would be a great research topic since it's an unknown story and it really needed to be told.
Right. And I often wonder how many stories like this that have happened, especially here in Minnesota, that haven't been told, that have kind of, you know, whitewashed.
Bless you.
Did I not mute myself in time? Well, thank you. Yeah, I just got that one out quick. But, you know, I wonder, there's got to be other stories out there, too, that haven't been told. So that's really interesting. And it really perked my interest, especially about the ethnic cleansing of the Ho-Chunk Nation and how that story really is, like you said, it hasn't been put down in book form. And all, you know, with the secret society and the people that were really involved with early Minnesota politics. And it's an eye-opening experience. So what were some of the trials and tribulations that you had to go through in order to write this book?
Well, so first there were the men, this was a secret society, which means they were secret. Some of them wrote articles about it decades later, but I really only had four names of the guys. So when I was in graduate school, I spent a lot of time trying to find if there was other names I could find or other. I knew there was other chapters of this secret society in small towns around the reservation that was in Blue Earth County. And so I had been looking for the other men or anything really. And it was difficult. It was really difficult finding anything at all about them. I never did find any more names at all. But, you know, there are things. So when I was researching Senator Wilkinson, for example, his papers are missing from the Mankato State University archives and also from the Blue Earth County Historical Society. He wrote a petition to have the Ho-Chunk people removed in December of 1862. And so I was really interested to see what he had in his papers from his law and from in his personal papers that he left in the archives for people to find. But they had somehow gone missing in the last decade or two. So there's always issues. Another issue I had was just reading the handwriting from 1862. I spent so many thousands of hours just looking at scans of letters from the agents or from Henry Sibley or Alexander Ramsey or traders from the Ho-Chunk Reservation. They wrote letters every day, sometimes two or three times a day, back and forth to Washington. And trying to read their handwriting, I mean, it would take me sometimes an hour just to read one letter. And that letter might not have anything of interest to my story anyways.
Wow.
But, you know, I was looking for new information and, you know, more evidence that these guys existed and what exactly they were doing. You know, in the newspaper a few decades later, they wrote about that they sent men to lie around the reservation with guns so that they would shoot anybody who left, any Ho-Chunk person who left the reservation. So I was trying to find out, was anybody shocked? You know, what did they actually commit any violence, these men? And I never found any reports from the agency or in the newspaper, but it was not uncommon for these sorts of things to go unreported. It's all over in the sources, actually, that you could just murder people all the time without it going unpunished. So, you know, just finding anything else about it was difficult. But I think in the end, the story is still important, even though I didn't find a lot of names or, you know, people to look at, or I wasn't able to look at Senator Wilkinson's papers. And, you know, I never found out for sure if they murdered any Ho-Chunk people. I think in the end, they still had an impact, and their story says a lot about the details and the process of these forced removals from the reservations that happened in the 19th century.
Yeah, in the book, in the back of the book, it says in 1863, after the end of the U.S. Dakota War, a group of white men in Mankato, Minnesota, formed a secret society, pledging to expel the Ho-Chunk people from nearby Blue Earth Reservation with the goal of claiming for themselves some of the richest farmland in the world. And I think that that says it all of what's in this book and the story of that. You know, you had Amy Lone Tree and help people from Ho-Chunk Nation citizens help you vet out this book. That must have been gratifying and also interesting process.
Yeah, so when I was in graduate school, I was overly focused on trying to find out what these men were up to and who they were, maybe I could anything about them, like I said. But so then when I started working on the book, I really wanted to reach out to Ho-Chunk people and figure out where I was lacking on the history, on their history part of it. Mm-hmm. So I sent the manuscript out to as many Ho-Chunk people who would read it. You were one of those people who got my manuscript. And I took their feedback and, you know, I heard all kinds of things, helping me with just the details, like how to spell names of certain leaders. When you look at the sources, there's so many different spellings, you know, mm-hmm. because the officials didn't know how to spell or, you know, necessarily even pronounce the names right. So mm-hmm. when they tried to spell how they pronounced it, it wouldn't even necessarily come out right. So, you know, Bill Quackenbush, he helped me a lot with some of the spelling, and I heard feedback from other Ho-Chunk people that I was overly focused on some leaders and I should try to add more Ho-Chunk leaders in there. I had a lot on the Decorah family, and that was really a reflection on me looking at the sources. You know, they're in certainly an important family in your history, but I heard a lot of feedback that there's other leaders and there's other clans and other, you know, other people. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't trying to write a comprehensive history of the Ho-Chunk people. This is really meant to be a story of Minnesota and their time in Minnesota. But I wanted to make sure that the history section was right and the best that it could be, and that Ho-Chunk people had a say and had a chance to give me feedback before it went to publication.
Yeah, well, I know our friend Amy Lone Tree was really excited about this and excited about the work. She, whenever she brought it up to our people or in any kind of meeting, and so hearing that, you know, I was really happy that of your work and how they vetted it out. And I just we only got like a minute or two here in this segment. I just want to also, you know, Stephen, I've heard Stephen, how do you say his last name? The author.
Pantowitz, I think.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I heard him on a broadcast a few years ago talk about Dandy, and you have Roaring Thunder in here, and he's an interesting character that you talk about. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that when we come back in our next segment. But I also want to see hear about all the response you've had, because I know it's just been an amazing month, and you're getting all these good things being said about you in a good way. So let's talk about that too, and how. And, you know, I guess we can talk about what your next project is, too. Or maybe not, because you're still doing a lot of reading. So, and I also want to get out the information how you can get, people can get a hold of you and have you come do a reading and a book sale. So that's awesome. So, hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And we'll be right back with Kathy Coates and Haley Cherry. Stay with us. Oh,
attention transit customers. On Saturday, March 16th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl. As we pack away the ornaments and bid farewell to the holiday season, it's time to unwrap the gift that keeps on giving, getting protected by a COVID-19 vaccination. This is your chance to make a difference, especially as our native communities face higher COVID numbers. Those higher numbers underscore the need for collective action. So answer the call and get vaccinated. The latest vaccines are not just authorized, but they're proven effective against the current variants. This is extra protection, even if you've already had previous vaccines, since previous vaccines will eventually wear off. Plus, the new shots are FDA approved for ages 6 months and up. A COVID vaccine is not just a shot. It's a pledge to safeguard the wisdom and stories handed down by our elders. So join the movement, get vaccinated, and make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
All My Relations Arts presents Okizi. Okizi means to heal, and the exhibition highlights the healing power of cultural revitalization for Native communities. Okizi showcases prints, mixed media, textiles, beadwork, digital collage, and glass sculptures by Native American and Sami artists. It explores Indigenous communities' active healing efforts through language revitalization, land back movements, and embracing traditional knowledge. Visit All My Relations Arts to experience Okizi through April 13th. More information at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Hi, I'm Chuck Manette, owner of Native Concrete and Masonry. Whether it's cracks in your existing sidewalks, steps, chimney restoration, or a whole new project, you can trust our team to ensure satisfaction through detailed planning and precision. Native Concrete and Masonry is a Native American-owned business, and we have worked with our clients throughout the Twin Cities metro area. We work closely with our clients to accomplish our initiatives. Learn more at nativeconcretemasonry.com.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Arts and their current gallery exhibit, Okizi, in partnership with the American Swedish Institute, now until April 13th off of Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Hey, speaking of which, Haley, we have Kathy Coates here, but we were at the All My Relations Art for, I think the book came out one day before that and had a sellout crowd. Yeah. They locked the doors. They wouldn't let any other people get tickets online. And I know my daughter couldn't get in. And but it was jam packed, and there was a good book sale. And how did you feel about that? I know you were there.
Yeah, well, I was just amazed by this capacity that All My Relations could hold in their gallery space, which is amazing. So if you're ever looking to book something, that would be the place to do it. I want to shout out Juliana Enright and our friend Alex Buffalo Head, as well as Angela Two Stars, for helping us host there, part of NACD, Native American Community Development Institute. And Kathy, you did amazing, and I'm so, so happy of the turnout, and hopefully we can do it again. And, you know, it was, I guess, kind of like emotional for me. I know we did a live broadcast there, mm-hmm. which was really fun before. And, just hearing, one of our Ho-Chunk relatives come in and elder and do the prayer and just speaking on, some of our relatives and how that elder gave some people in our family their Native names, which you know, just meant a lot to me. So I'm glad that we can get this truth out and spread it all over Turtle Island.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. And Amy Lontree was there, and also our guy, who else was there, Kathy?
Bill
Quackenbush. Yes, definitely. And he does an unbelievable job. And that was really exciting and emotional in a good way, because you always worry about things like that, Kathy, that no one's going to show up. You know what I mean? There's stress of, like, if there's too many people showing up and asking too many questions. No, I'm just kidding. But and then there's the other end of it. Is anyone going to show up? And it was a big success. It was probably this. They told us it was the most successful kind of book launch that they've ever had. And also, there was quite a few books sold too. And that's a thing our friend Amy Lontree said that was amazing, because a lot of times that isn't the case.
Right. Yeah. She's been to some where they've only sold one book. So this was great. And, you know, seeing Amy speak at the book launch was amazing. I really look up to her as a historian. She's a great scholar, and having her give the stamp of approval on this book means more to me than just about anything else, I think. And, when she was speaking at the book launch, she talked about how much this story means to her. And she, you know, also the same, like Haley said, seemed almost emotional at times. And, you know, it's emotional for a different reason. You know, it was a culmination of this huge project, and to see this is exactly what I wanted to happen out of it. I wanted it to mean something for Ho-Chunk people, and I wanted it to be out there for Minnesotans to read beyond Ho-Chunk people. I saw Stephen Kantrowicz and Josie Lee, who is a Ho-Chunk person. Mm-hmm. I think she works in the museum, the Ho-Chunk Museum in Madison. Mm-hmm. And they did a talk a week or two ago in Madison. And one thing that Stephen pointed out was that there's only 4,000 Ho-Chunk people, or is it two, in Wisconsin. There's only 500 in Minnesota, or mm-hmm. over 500. And so you guys can't do the work of telling this truth by yourself. You know, there needs to be more allies, and historians really specifically need to get more involved in telling these parts of the stories. The U.S. Dakota War has been told by historians for decades now, and mm-hmm. even truth-telling historians have told this story, and they still leave out the Knights of the Forest and the Ho-Chunk people. They usually just get a little footnote in the Dakota War stories.
Right.
I think this is a bigger part of the U.S. Dakota War. And if we look at the Ho-Chunk people and the Knights of the Forest and what happened there in Mankato specifically,
mm-hmm.
it really says a lot, and it can add a completeness to the story and history in Minnesota.
Exactly. And Stephen wrote in the back of the book, in the aftermath of the U.S. Dakota War, Ho-Chunk community at Blue Earth was banished from Minnesota to barren acres far to the west. Through careful research, Kathy Coates restores this searing episode to its proper place in the history of the state and nation. The Ho-Chunk's brutal expulsion, she shows, did not stem from some monetary mass hysteria. Rather, it was the work of prominent citizens, men hungry for Ho-Chunk's acres and unapologetic in their white supremacist intention to banish forever from our beautiful state every Indian who now resides on our soil. So that was what Stephen had to say about your book too, and how important truth telling is. And I just picked up a book that was written in the 70s about the 38 plus two. And it was interesting. They had two pages about the Ho-Chunk, and I was like, oh, wow. You know, but like you said, Kathy, we're really a bigger part of that whole story. Some people say that Ho-Chunk weren't involved with the Sioux uprising, and some books say they are, and they were, but they were definitely, if there was, it was a very small amount, and we became victim of a big land grab.
Right, and it's there's been conflicting reports, and it does feel like, and it does seem like there might have been a few people that were at least there at the during some of the battles, or at least the first battle. Mm-hmm. But as a whole, the agent at least wrote, and from what I've heard from Ho-Chunk people and historians, is that as a whole, they did not decide as a nation to go to make war with the United States the way that a lot of the Dakota people did. They decided together, you know, Little Crow would lead them into war. And that didn't happen on the Ho-Chunk reservation. And in fact, they'd already had some battles and wars in Wisconsin, as you well know. So, mm-hmm. you know, they'd already been there and done that with the United States. And they were looking to plant farms and, you know, stay there and have this rich farmland. It was the richest in the nation, some of the richest in the nation, and the best in the whole state. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, had a good spot there. And after a few failed spots that they didn't like, they, you know, not all of them, but some of them wanted to stay there. So right. It's really tragic that they were forced because of this outside, you know, influence. Of course, that's the entire history of Ho-Chunk once colonialism started. But
right. And we talk about that sometimes too, but this is a big part of the story, being pushed out of Wisconsin, and people like a Dandy came back 8 or 9 times. And there was that great story that he pretended he was sick and everyone was going to take him to the infirmary. And he bolted out of the fort and ran away, and they didn't see him for another 8 years. So he headed back to Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, so the Ho-Chunk, as you know, the Ho-Chunk people were removed 5 times to 5 different reservations by the government. But throughout that entire time, there was lots of Ho-Chunk people who just didn't leave Wisconsin, or mm-hmm. they went back. Or maybe they would go to the reservation for a while and then they would go back to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Depending, you know, some of the reservations were, like I said, better than others. You know, they were happier in Mankato than they were by Long Prairie. And so some of it had to do with that. But Dandy was definitely one who really refused to leave. And they would keep arresting him and bringing him to Wisconsin. And he would escape in hilarious ways.
Right.
And usually it was by tricking the soldiers. And so, yeah, but that was throughout the whole history. Henry Rice, there's a lot of sources in Minnesota. He would put out bounties trying to, he would pay people to try to arrest Ho-Chunk people and bring them to the reservation in Long Prairie or Mankato or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
They were just trying to force them into these little areas. And Ho-Chunk people were not having it by and large.
Well, and a lot of the situation was that the Dakota War gave an excuse to remove Ho-Chunk in a big way. And right in the middle of of growing season, they were left with their farms, and people took over these farms at all the work had been done except for harvesting and things like that. So we kind of sit around here and joke, but boy, we put ourselves in the place of the Ho-Chunk that were removed out of Mankato. It's a super sad story.
That's right. I mean, it's actually heartbreaking to read some of the stories when they came to force them, even from the reservations, not even just from Wisconsin. They brought soldiers out at gunpoint every single time. And Winneshiek was one in Mankato who he resisted at every turn before they even removed. He resisted the allotments. The U.S. government at some point decided to take reservations and they would cut them in half. They did it to the Ho-Chunk and the Dakota at the same time, or a couple years apart. And they took one half and tried to make it into allotments. And this sort of threatened their tribal sovereignty because it took their land they held in severalty and it made it into individual ownership of it. Yeah. And Winneshiek must have foreseen this because he resisted fiercely.
Wow. Hey, Kathy, I know we love spending time with you. Can you give where people can book you or get the book and have you come speak? I know you have a lot of engagements coming up.
Yeah, the book is available at any of your small local bookstores or the Minnesota Historical Society Press. You can also get a hold of me through the Minnesota Historical Society Press. And I have some speaking engagements coming up. My next one is April 10th at St. Cloud State University at 7 p.m. I have another one April 13th in La Crescent at the Ho-Chunk Nation Three Rivers House. And several more over the summer. There's lots.
Well, we'll have you on again in a big teeny geeky Kathy Coates.
You're welcome.
To Banish Forever. Great book. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, March 16th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Life can be hard. Sometimes it feels like there's no answers, like there's no way out. Hennepin County's COPE Mobile Crisis Response is here to listen and help you find a way through whatever is going on in your life. Call 612-596-1223 for no-cost crisis support anytime, anywhere in Hennepin County. That number is 612-596-1223.
Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas is your pathway to a bachelor's degree. Located in downtown Minneapolis, Doherty Family College offers an affordable education that includes free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass. As a full-time Doherty Family College student, you'll benefit from mentorship from St. Thomas faculty, along with paid internships and support from Minnesota's largest private college. Ready to turn your dreams into reality? Apply now at dfc.stthomas.edu. Doherty Family College, your journey to success starts here.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
How?
Good one.
Good one.
Hey, what a great interview. We got to have her on again, too. You know, so much excitement for this book. And one of the things that is really important with this book is that, you know, you go to the library and you see all these other tribes and millions of books on them, but you don't see that many on Ho-Chunk. So,
right.
And this is so important, and she is doing important work.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree. I think this is probably the first and only all Ho-Chunk book that I have in my collection, and very, very happy to have it written by Kathy and have it signed.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you know, Amy Lone Tree, it was so great to see her and have her come in, and she's kind of a rock star in her own right. She's the author of Decolonizing Museums, Representing Native American and National and Tribal Museums. And she wrote, "To Banish Forever is a powerful written and compelling history of the Ho-Chunk Nation in Minnesota and the colonial forces seeking their removal from the state in the 19th century. It is pervasively argued, engagingly written, well-researched, and urgently needed. It will also make a lasting contribution of many areas of scholarship. This book needs to be in the hands of people across Minnesota and beyond. And what a great little, we all agree with that.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And you can get this book. This was published by the Minnesota Historical Society. So you can head over to their website at mnhs.org. And I also want to shout out Minnesota Historical Society and American Indian Initiatives or Native American Initiatives, which is that group at the Historical Society and just, you know, made up of a great group of people.
Absolutely. And we just had a Native American book sent to us at the mother station, AM 950, I picked up yesterday, and it was pretty amazing that there's still things coming out of the Minnesota Historical Society supporting Native Americans and their stories.
Yeah, and just so great that they do have a group like Native American Initiatives in there working specifically to bring events and books out like that. So that's amazing. And I just want to go back to Dandy for a sec. This character in the book, To Banish Forever, A Secret Society, The Ho-Chunk and Ethnic Cleansing in Minnesota. Dandy, being a Ho-Chunk, probably a relative of ours, really sounds familiar. Kind of reminds me of something you would do. And, you know, just kind of sneak in between the borders and crossing the river and whatnot. Just, I mean, that's real resistance.
Well, his real name was Roaring Thunder, and they called him Dandy because by the settler colonists because of the colorful and elaborate dress and clothing that he wore. And when Governor Henry Dodge had him arrested and imprisoned for refusing to leave Wisconsin in 1844, Dandy demanded an audience with the governor. He asked Dodge, Governor Dodge, if he thought the Bible was a good book and if following the book was all that was required by of any man. And when Dodge answered affirmatively, Dandy told him to look in the book, look at that book all through, and if you find in it that Dandy ought to be removed from the government to Turkey River, then I will go off. And so he's playing fighting fire with fire there in a sense.
Oh, absolutely. Got to throw the religion back at him.
Yeah. So this is a great book, and it has pictures, but it also has maps. It has it has a picture of Dandy in there, and it also has a lot of the players that removed the Ho-Chunk from the Mankato area specifically. And there's a lot of things. I just read the book, and I won't get into it. Like there's some property down in Mankato that should be given back to the tribe or to the people, but there I did say it.
Oh, and I'll second that. We'll take a trip down.
Cool. Hey, yeah, get our little signs and protest. Well, hopefully everyone's going to stay cool this weekend and dry because of the snow that's coming. And we want to make sure that all our relatives out there in Minnesota and surrounding areas make sure that they be aware of the snow coming and take precautions. I've already shoveled. I've already fallen down once. So,
oh gosh,
I'm good already. So I didn't break a hip. So I'm still good. And,
okay. So you didn't jinx yourself on that.
No. But I'll be shoveling tonight and tomorrow and up till Sunday. And there's things happening this weekend that, you know, we'll have to flip a coin to see if we'll visit each other out there or if it's going to be too scary.
I know. Get those skis on your tires or something. Speaking of, you know, I woke up and I was so excited to see the snow, and I'm like, maybe they'll reopen the ski hills, and they haven't yet.
Wow. Well, yeah. It sounds like they'll be hard to get at. Coming Sunday. So
exactly.
And then it'll be gone in a couple of weeks. And we always have the most snow in March, but we haven't had any snow really to speak of this winter. Global warming and the warmest winter on record and things like that, that we know that we have to be aware of for our people and people listening to the show and our allies out there, that we need to really be aware of this. And especially when it comes to like watering the grass and all those things that really you need to think about, especially with water's life and how little moisture the state of Minnesota's had all winter.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know why, but this kind of makes me think of just like caring for the environment and, you know, just double checking the type of salt that you're using. If you're putting salt down on your sidewalks or your driveway, make sure whatever is in that is non-toxic to our environment, because that stuff will run off into our ditches and our waterways. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's been nice not to have the snow, in my opinion, just for driving. And I've also heard a lot of people comment on how less moisture will be standing on, you know, on the ground outside. So less mosquitoes.
Yeah, well, there is that. But then, you know, the circle of life, where are bats that eat mosquitoes? Where are possums that eat mosquitoes and ticks and all those things? So there is that. But, you know, we do know that we've done really bad on Mother Earth and Father Sky. And we really need to be aware of that, especially with what's coming ahead here, and be grateful for this snow and just be careful that's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Any type of moisture on the ground, any water, you know, is really great for our grass, and hopefully it will help turn things greener a lot sooner here come springtime.
Yes, water is life, and we need to remember that. So what else? Probably we got that powwow we talked about earlier that's coming up in St. Paul Saturday, and hopefully it'll be kind of fun to drive out to the Ames School and see the new building, the American Indian Magnet School in St. Paul, and celebrate with the young ones the powwow and their stuff.
Yeah, so if you're around the Twin Cities, come hang out with us at a powwow, and remember the rules of the powwow and just general respect, and it should be a good time. I know there's going to be food and a lot of people, a lot of friends, a lot of good laughs, and big auntie energy.
Right on. If you don't feel good, don't come. Hey, if you are listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.